he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is the spiking oil price edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And the markets have opened down again. And I would say the number one factor, and we're going to talk about that in a minute here, is spiking oil prices, up around $100 per barrel right now. And the Dow is down 838 points to 46,663 after hitting 50,000 recently. So you're off about 34% from the all-time high. S&P down 91, it's at 66.48. It hit 7,000 recently, so it's down about 3% from its all-time high. The NASDAQ is down 620 right now. Actually, no, 265 right now, 1.2%. It's at 22,122. It's down about 3 or 4% from its all-time high. The small caps are down 1.9%. Now, the bigger issues right now, which are having the biggest impact on the markets, crude oil is up 10.5% to $100.47. It's now up almost 70% year-to-date, 70% in oil prices year-to-date, believe it or not. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. The word of the day, Barry, is parabolic. And why I mention the word parabolic is we recently had a parabolic move in Bitcoin that took Bitcoin to $125,000. Where's Bitcoin today? About half of that, little over half.
It's lost 68,000. Yeah.
Yeah, so lost almost half of its value. Then we had a parabolic. Now, parabolic is, you know, I guess you would see that at an air show, maybe, where a plane takes off the runway. It's one of these guys that's going to do a loop-de-loop thing, kind of thing. He starts gaining altitude. Then all of a sudden, he just kind of goes straight up, right? That's parabolic. We had a parabolic move in silver. Put silver over $100 per ounce, or I don't remember what it was. It was way up there, way up high in the sky.
112-ish, I think.
Yeah, smoke coming out of it and everything. And then it did a loop-de-loop. And then it did a nosedive, and one day it lost 28%. Well, the chart that I showed on Friday at the right top front row center of the newsletter was the chart of oil. And what do you see there? A parabolic move. And as I've said before, and I'll say it again, it's a truism that parabolic moves aren't very good moves for sustainable continued moves upwards. Parabolic moves almost always fail. And these things come back down to earth. So right now you've got the market pricing in a long, drawn-out war. The Straits of Hormuz clogged for months on end, and oil not being able to get to where it needs to go. And hence you've got the parabolic move in oil. To me, there's just too many levers, Barry. There's too many spigots. There's too much that can be done to alleviate the flow of oil. Now, generally, a parabolic move is created by extreme demand and not enough supply. And it's pretty hard to argue that we don't have the supply of oil worldwide, that a few widgets can't be turned here and there, a few spigots can't be opened up here and there. To get relief to the areas where it's needed. Now, the two biggest choke points right now, number one, Europe. And that move in the European stocks has come to a screeching halt. I watched VGK, which is the European ETF, and I watched the European ETF go up 25% last year, despite, you know, what? They measure their GDP in tenths. In whole numbers even, right?
Yeah, and it was a lot. It's a big currency. A lot of it, when you look at it as a U.S. investor, a lot of that move up in the European markets are because the dollar was going down. So,
yeah, exactly. And money was moving away from Trump's tariff war, which didn't make much sense either because Europe's on the other end of that tariff war. Europe has also kept their interest rates very low, much lower than ours. They're down in the twos when we're in the fours with our Federal Reserve, and that was favoring the flow of money into Europe. But whether you're pro-fossil fuel or against fossil fuel, it doesn't really matter. Their policies over the last several years have created a choke point. First, they relied upon Putin for his liquid natural gas, and they built the big pipeline going underneath Ukraine and out into the ocean and supplying them with LNG. That was not a very good policy. And number two, you had the little girl there in, where was she from? The Greenpeace girl that was anti-oil, shame on you and all this and that. I think she was Swedish.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And they listened to her. And so their policies have been to really cut back on fossil fuels, really limit it. And that's put them into a very tight spot, okay? It's hard for them to turn the spigot up when they need to turn the spigot up. The second area of the market that's getting hit right now, yes, the U.S. is getting hit, but these areas are getting hit even harder, are the emerging markets. Asia. Asia does not have a lot of fossil fuels, and they have to import it. And that's another spigot that can be turned on. You know, China is the number one buyer of Iranian oil, and they're going to put the pressure on Iran. If you want us to buy your oil, you're going to have to clear up that Strait of Hormuz and let it flow through there. So I'm just thinking that we're probably seeing a top in oil. I've been infamous or famous maybe for calling some tops and bottoms recently. I would not be investing in oil right now. Go ahead, buy USO 2X, which is United States oil. That would be crude, West Texas crude, WTC. The European oil is Brent crude. It trades in London. Go ahead, buy oil here at this price and see how you do over the next few weeks. I think that oil is hitting a top, and if oil is hitting a top, a lot of these markets are probably getting close to putting in a bottom, because that seems to be the number one factor that the markets are scared about, because rising oil and high oil prices, number one, create inflation. Goldman Sachs predicted that if oil stays above in the 70 area, we'll get 3% inflation again. But I believe it's transitory. And number two, rising oil prices impact the consumer. If you're paying $3.50 when you used to pay $2.90 a gallon, all of a sudden you have less money to spend on one of those big burgers at McDonald's. The Big Arch, which, by the way, I tried one on Saturday,
did you?
Barry.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't run out to get one. Go ahead, get one. Try it for yourself. I thought it was like, you know what? I'd rather have a single In-N-Out cheeseburger any day of the week over that Big Arch, which set me back $11.
Really?
I only had $12 left after I filled my fuel tank, so luckily I was able to afford a Big Arch. And, you know what? It's not that. It just, I don't know. It's a lot. It's messy, and it's just not that good.
Is it a lot of sauce?
That's just me. No. A lot of meat. There's a lot of meat. That's what it is. There's a lot of meat. Where's the beef? There's plenty of beef, but it's low on flavor, as far as I'm concerned. Anyways, that's my take. So anyways, it hits the consumer and all these stocks that sell expensive things like Costco and Lilly Zepbound and other things have been selling off because now all of a sudden the consumer's got a whammy hitting them. They're paying more at the pump. But I think it's transitory. And the market has also priced in a drawn-out, months-long ground troop Afghanistan-Iraq-type situation. And I think the market has it wrong. I just don't see that happening. I don't think Iran has the firepower to match our technology and our weaponry. Anyways, more on all of this when we come back. While the market reels, this is the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I definitely think that there's more buying opportunities out there right now, Perry, than there are selling, issues. And I think, you know, the market does ridiculous things all the time. I'm not a believer, never have been, in this efficient market concept. This is not very efficient, actually.
It might be. It's efficient hindsight, but in the moment, there's nothing efficient about it.
I mean, for oil to be at 103.61 right now, it's up 14%. Is ridiculous.
Okay? Well, it's no different than it when we had negative oil prices during COVID. That'd be, I guess, parabolic the other way. And
yes.
we knew that oil wasn't going to be free for the rest of eternity.
They'll pay you to fill your tank.
Take it. Yeah.
To take it off their hands. Brent crude is up 13.3% to 104.98. And it's ridiculous, okay? I think today is probably, you're not going to see it much higher. This has got to be at or near the top. And it doesn't take much. You've got some people sitting on big profits that saw this coming and invested in oil and blah, blah, blah. I invested in oil stocks. I told everybody many weeks ago, I said, the oil sector has become the number one sector in the market, replacing the semiconductor and AI sector. That's pretty significant. That hasn't happened in a long time. And you know, the other thing I'm not seeing the oil stocks keeping up with the oil price. So investors, I think the people buying the stocks are a lot smarter than the people buying the oil itself. That's just pure greed. That's just like the silver trade when they ran silver up and up and up and gold and up and up and up. And then all of a sudden, boom, all the air came out a couple of Fridays ago, maybe three or four Fridays ago when silver went down 28%. You're going to see that happen to oil here. I would not want to be sitting on the long side of this oil trade. And it doesn't take much. I noticed, let's see, who said something today? One of the oil producers said that they were going to ratchet things up a little bit. Maybe it was Saudi Arabia. Oil reserves around the world, they can unleash. We're not the only one that has an oil reserve. They can unleash oil reserves around the world to drive the price of oil down. So I wouldn't want to be, and I'm looking at this chart of oil, USO, and it's parabolic to the max. It's got huge gaps in these breakouts too, which is not very sustainable. It's just not a sustainable move. And I think when oil starts coming down, which it's not, I can't say right now that oil has peaked and is starting to come down. you'll start to see these guys fleeing like a bunch of cockroaches when the lights come on. And who can get out the door the quickest? That's what's going to happen. And you'll start to see equities, you know, start to put in bottoms here in the market. So that's just my perspective on what I see here in the markets today. And again, the word of the day is parabolic. Now, the other side of this equation, we just finished the fourth quarter of 2025 earnings season. And now we're focused on the first quarter of this year, which is, you know, look, the quarter is going to end here in 3 weeks. We'll have the end of the first quarter of 2026, and we're looking for about 12% growth in earnings. The direction of the earnings has been up since 2009, and even earnings, now, earnings that go parabolic, there's nothing wrong with that. That is sustainable. Those are real numbers. These numbers on oil are people guessing that the supply is going to shrink and that the demand is going to remain there, and you're not going to be able to get oil to where it needs to go, which I don't believe. They're going to figure something out. But the earnings situation is better than I've ever seen it. Okay, so you've got elevated oil prices bringing the stocks down, and you have to ask yourself, are these elevated oil prices sustainable? Is this oil price going to remain elevated here? The forward PE of the S&P came down to 21.2. That's the lowest we've seen it in a while. We got up as high as 23. And as I calculate, and as I look at the consensus five-year target on the S&P 500, the upside in the S&P 500 is as good as it has been in quite some time. Now, what could happen? If oil stays up for a long, long time, they're going to start ratcheting down earnings estimates in certain companies. And, you know, today it's the trucking companies, it's the airline companies, it's the cruise ship companies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that are on the front line where their major, one of their major expenses is fuel. Okay, but it shows up. I mean, if it remains elevated, it shows up in food prices, getting the bananas to the store, getting the bananas on the ship. Getting the bananas to the final destination, right?
Yeah, I mean, your McDonald's Arch, for example, and Burger King used to do this as well. Once you'd start putting an extra, you know, say an extra cost on top of a case of burgers, right?
In terms excise of shipping. Tax.
Yeah, it's almost because of the fact, you know, fuel prices go up and they, you know, charge an extra dollar or whatever per case to offset that for a period of time. So there's a, you know, you could see some margin compression in certain industries. I think that's why we've seen, you know, South Korea get knocked down a bit, because their energy cost and other things, input cost in terms of creating those chips and storage, you know, devices and units that they're making, they're, you know, we may see a little bit of margin compression. And a lot of that depends on how long this goes on. Of course, the consensus is right now, of course, you know, some of it, I think, is pessimism also that we hear. It's going to be, you know, we're going to be in this forever. It's like, you know, I don't think we are.
No.
It doesn't seem like we are. I don't know how, you know, I'm not sure how many more targets, you know, at least, you know, targets that we have to hit over there. We've sunk a lot of their ships, if not all of them.
They don't have much of a navy left. It's at the bottom of the ocean right now.
Yep. And now we're working on, you know, the, you know, Revolutionary Guard, blowing up a lot of ammunition storage areas, blew up some fuel facilities for, you know, for them. So what, you know, what they're doing now is kind of, you know, degrading the national, that group.
Yes.
So maybe the people can rise. I don't know.
Yes. And so the market is pricing in that Iran can sustain the closure of the Straits of Hormuz for a long, long time. I don't know that they have the firepower to do that, because they're losing firepower every single day. as this goes on. A lot of spigots can be turned, too. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The G7 to discuss a coordinated oil reserve release. Boy, that would send the oil bulls scrambling, wouldn't it, Barry? You know, Biden did that.
Well, and I've heard, you know, also it's, you have, I think Europe's doing, you know, thinking about doing something as well, or maybe already initiated it. So, you know, the other thing, too, is Brent and WTI, which is, you know, West Texas crude, are usually about roughly about $5 apart. Right now, Brent crude and them are actually very close together.
Yes.
And the reasoning behind that is, you know, of course, you know, we may end up exporting some oil you know, to other places, which, you know, kind of brings that price closer to Brent. But we'll see. You know, that's kind of interesting. Once it gets back to $5 difference, then we know kind of that, you know, oil is getting back to kind of a normal place. And so right now it's a, you know, it's just a kind of an odd time, and it'd be hard to. You know, like you said, there's plenty of dials to potentially turn. There's rhetoric that you can, you know, we know the administration can talk, you know, the price down as well. So there's, you know, it'd be hard for me to just buy, you know, buy oil today. I mean, if that was your trade, it should have been, would have been done last week, I guess.
Wow. I'd be selling today myself. Yeah. But, you know, look, on Truth Social on Sunday evening, Trump shrugged off any worries about the oil price surge. He said short-term oil prices, which will drop rapidly when the destruction of the Iran nuclear threat is over, is a very small price to pay for the USA and the world. Safety and peace, he wrote, only fools would think differently. Okay, so if you think oil is going to remain high for a long time, you're a fool. Well, you know, I'm just saying parabolic moves aren't very sustainable. They eventually collapse. There's something called gravity, even in the stock market, which tends to bring a very sudden halt, and panic sets in, working it out and getting out of the way and locking in those big profits all of a sudden becomes the thing to do. And, you know, here's the real bugaboo in all of this. You know who the big winner is in all of this right now? Is Putin. He's got to be sitting there going, hey, keep those Straits of Hormuz closed. He's got an economy that is 80% dependent upon oil prices. His favorability ratings rocket higher with oil prices because it helps the economy in Russia and it helps them finance the war against Ukraine. So Russia is not wanting a settlement to all of this because they have plenty of oil. China, on the other hand, has a different interest. They need oil. And they have been the biggest buyer of Iranian oil. So I got to believe that China is going to put some pressure on them. Okay, the VIX. We haven't looked at the VIX. The VIX top, that's the volatility index. I've never had much luck. I think probably you're seeing a top in the VIX also. That's Wall Street's fear gauge. It topped 30 for the first time since April tariff turmoil. Remember those days?
Yeah, and usually when the VIX is elevated, right, it tends to be a time when you likely want to buy. I mean, it's just
exactly. If you look at VXX right now, that's not as parabolic as the the oil move. But that VIX can come down really quickly. really quickly.
Yeah, and measures it's essentially a measure of volatility of primarily in options trading in the VIX. I actually heard the father of the VIX was a professor at Vanderbilt, and when I was in Nashville, I actually heard him speak a couple of times. You want to talk about a pretty dry subject?
You think he'd be kind of a wild kind of guy inventing the VIX?
No, it's a lot of statistics and options pricing involved, and some, you know, you got those Greek letters, theta, and some.
Oh yeah, alpha, like, beta. You
know, very, very mathy. Doesn't come off well as a lecture. Put it down.
The father of the VIX. Yeah, he's the life of the party. As you're, getting your ranch dip for your broccoli florets.
Yeah, he was not near as much fun as listening to Art Laffer. So Laffer's
a character
too, and he was fun to listen to. And then of course the next month you show up and the father of the VIX is there, and you're
wow.
Like, oh, this is a little dry.
But yeah. Trucking freight stocks on Monday amid the jump in oil prices, and again it's as if the oil prices are never going to come back. That they're never going to come down. If they stay high, if oil stays high, elevated for a long, long time, that would have all kinds of impacts on inflation, the consumer,
airline tickets,
the November elections, just all kinds of things that I don't think they're going to allow oil prices to stay high. That's just I think.
It would be political suicide. So, I mean, that's the other thing. It's in the administration's best interest, right, to get oil prices down. That's another reason why I don't know if I'd want to be on the long end. You don't want to be opposite of what the administration, you know, wants to shoot for. And, my guess is, you know, they could talk it down and do what they need to bring the price down.
I'll throw out an ETF here. Doug. Not like the guy, Doug. Just D-U-G. I dug a hole in the backyard and I struck oil. Well, okay. Doug is 2 times inverse the daily performance of the S&P Energy Select Sector Index. So it must be the stocks. I think maybe DRIP. Let me see if it's DRIP. Yes, it's DRIP. Okay, DRIP goes directly to oil prices. No, that's industry too. But it's 300 times inverse the oil and gas. It's at $5, $5.12. I'm not telling you to go out and buy it. Keep your eye on it. This could be pretty wild here real soon, as oil prices begin to come down, come back to earth, and gravity begins to take hold of this parabolic move. Bitcoin, on the other hand, we saw what happened when it got up around 125. Now it's at 67. I don't know what to think of Bitcoin. It's making a sideways move. It has stopped falling. 65,000 seems to be its bottom right now. But with nothing to go on other than a chart, I like to have all three. I like to have valuation, I like to have performance, and I like to have a good chart. And you can look at performance of Bitcoin, which has been better recently. It has shaped up, but it's still...
It's really been range-bound.
Yeah. Where's that valuation? How do you put a value on it? I can't do it. Earnings week ahead. Okay, we talked about the earnings season. It's over. The fourth quarter is over. We pretty much have the numbers in. It was a record haul of earnings, and it was a record profit margin at 13.4%. So did the tariffs work? I'll leave it up to you. It didn't impact the market. It didn't impact the earnings. The earnings continued on their own merry way, and we're going to close out the year with about a 12% gain in earnings versus the same 12 months last year when you compare 2025 versus 2024. and this quarter that we're now in, we begin with expectations for over 11% rise. Maybe we'll finish at 15. Who knows? Maybe we'll finish at 6. That would be a big warning sign, okay? But we still got a few earnings coming in this week. Oracle, which has been pasted recently. Adobe, which has been pasted recently. The software stocks. They are putting in a bottom, however. I will say that. And Palantir actually had a really good week last week. I think a lot of this, when you start talking special forces going into Iran to decapitate the leadership, now you got the Ayatollah's son as the leader. I hope he's in a secure place. That's all I can say. And they want to make sure that that enriched uranium, which they possess, doesn't leak out of the country or isn't put into, and so you may see special forces going in there, and that favors a stock like Palantir, PLTR, which is the very best stock in the software sector, bar none. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, I can't wait. I'm really excited to look through the charts today and look for some of those all familiar bottoming patterns in some of the great stocks that I took some profits on several weeks ago. They could be in play once again. And I just can't tell you how fortunate I feel to have that app guiding me. My first list of charts that I will go through today are my holdings, obviously. And going through those holdings is what led me to sell several stocks, you know, several weeks ago. As I saw them, you know, go on these not quite parabolic moves, but pretty sharp moves higher, the Western Digitals, the Seagates, the Microns of the world. I took those profits, and they've gone way down ever since then. And now they will hopefully start to show up in another list that I'll get to here in a minute. But number one, I go through everything I own every single day. And I've had people ask me, Barry, do you look at my portfolio every day? The answer to that is yes. Because
absolutely.
Probably
more than once a day.
Yes.
You're looking at all the names that we own. You're also looking at all the names that have transferred in that maybe, you know, we haven't sold yet, but they're on, you know, obviously held under our umbrella. And so, answer's probably more than once.
Yes. Okay. So the answer to that question is yes. Okay. All my holdings, charts, 1 year charts. I use MarketSmith. Which is now called Market Surge. Number two, I go through the top 300 or 400 ranked stocks every day. The charts, okay? And we're working on a new feature in the app. I can't give you a target date when it'll be done, but where you can upload those symbols of the top ranked stocks into your charting system. Extract them, upload the list into your, which most charting systems allow you to upload a group of symbols rather than entering them one by one, okay? And the next thing I do is I go through the top ranked stocks. And right now at the top, it continues to be precious metals, energy, some inverse funds, believe it or not, and some tech still up there high. The third chart I go through or the third list I go through is the A plus momentum list. These are the, forget about valuation. This is just the momentum side of the equation. So obviously you could have mutual funds, you could have ETFs, you could have biotechs without any earnings, anything, show up in that momentum screen. And, valuation doesn't matter. It's just what are the strongest 200 or so stocks in the market or ETFs or mutual funds right now? And I find some surprise. That's, I call that my early detector of things that are moving underneath the surface of the market. And then the fourth one, and I'm going to add this screen to the app that I use, are stocks that have moved up, 1,000 or more in rank. So if yesterday they were 5,289, today it's 4,289. It moved up 1,000 points in rank. And I do all the stocks that are 1,000 points or more, change in rank, improvement in rank. And that's usually about 100 or so. And so that makes up my list. Now, the list isn't as long as it used to be. I was up around 1,000 a day when the market was really strong. But now that the market has weakened, there's only 582 B-plus stocks, for instance, when there were about 900 or 1,000 not too long ago. The momentum list is going to come in at about 200. It was about 400 not that long ago. And so it's getting easier and easier to go through these lists, but you're looking at the best of the best. I just saw a big boat coming up the river. Looks like he's headed for maybe some maintenance. He's got trawlers out, you know, and it looks like a rig for fishing billfish out there in the jet Gulf Stream. And that guy is set up. He's not going to just go out there and start looking over. Oh, he's going to get some intel first and head to the spots, whether, you know, they were spotted from space, helicopters, or not helicopters, satellites. Which sometimes will map out where the chlorophyll is in the ocean and where the clear blue water is in the ocean. He's going to go over his charts and he's going to get a good idea and try to really narrow down the focus as to where to head out. That boat came up the river. I know he's getting less than 1 mile to the gallon. Maybe he's headed to the gas station.
Probably.
He left a big wake. You know, the mahi start moving in here in about a week or two. And they're 50, 60 miles offshore. And they go out fishing for the Dorado, otherwise known as the mahi. And you try to look, get into a school. And usually they're on a temperature break or a debris break or right on the edge of that Gulf Stream. That's where the bait is. Wherever the earnings are, that's where the stocks that are moving are. Wherever the bait is, that's where the fish are eating the bait.
Yeah, look so for the and look for the birds
and
the
look
birds
for the birds up on top. And the birds for me are the chart.
Yeah,
the chart is looking at the surface of the market, and it's showing me what is moving. And to be able to eliminate 4,500 or so from any kind of, you know, looking at those charts, that's just a waste of time. You just want to fly right past those locations and focus on where the birds are working. So I'm very excited about today. I'll be putting out alerts of what I find, what I see to all of our subscribers. So if you want to set up an appointment with us to talk about, is your portfolio manager doing what we do here? Ed Gunderson Capital Management. And by the way, we've got more eyes now looking at this stuff than we ever have. As I've taken on a few, Barry's going to meet tonight. So
yeah, right.
Some understudies that will learn how to read these charts and look at these lists like I do. So now you've got a team of people doing it here at Gunderson Capital. Give us a call, set up an appointment at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. We're headed to Sarasota, it looks like, the first week of April. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, down in the Sarasota area. Put that on your calendar. More details to follow. To get the 4-week trial, GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.